Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Oh, no! 11-year-old Micah threw both arms up in the air. No way! I'm not going to share my room with Weird Warren. I'm not doing it this year. Come on, sport, Micah's dad coaxed, looking up from a stack of dishes he was carrying. It's only once a year. How bad can that be? I'll tell you how. Micah plunked each piece of silverware down on the table with a vengeance. He's just too weird. All he wants to talk about is trains. Who cares about that? You think you've got it bad, interrupted 13-year-old Shayna, carrying in a big wooden serving bowl of salad. I have to let prissy little Serena stay in my room. And she wrinkled up her nose. What's so bad about cousin Serena? Asked their dad. Are you kidding? Shayna rolled her eyes. Precious little Serena has to have a light on all night because she's too afraid. She has so many clothes she takes up half my closet. And she's always looking at my stuff and asking, Oh, that's so cool. Could I try it on?
That's not exactly getting into the spirit of the holidays, prompted their dad. How do you think your cousins feel about being away from their own rooms and friends to travel here?
Well, I think this family togetherness business has gone on a little too far, Shayna replied.
Yeah. Micah added. I'd be more thankful if they could just stay at a hotel this year.
Amen, chimed in Shayna. From a parent's perspective, how can we reduce the stress levels in our families as we approach the holidays? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has helped families with just such issues. Risa Davis-Gannell is a licensed clinical marriage and family therapist. She has over 12 years of experience in providing individual, couple, and family therapy in a variety of settings. She has been in private practice since 1999, assisting individuals, couples, and families in strengthening relationships, improving parenting skills, and coping with depression, anxiety, and phase-of-life issues. She conducts seminars on such topics as emotional strength, what women need to know about divorce, and positive parenting. Risa Davis-Gannell is mother of a 7-year-old daughter and has 2 stepchildren, ages 15 and 16. Welcome to Parents' Perspective.
Well, thank you for having me, and happy holidays.
What's the biggest myth parents harbor about the holiday season?
Well, I think the biggest myth is that I have to do it all. And in close second is I have to do it perfectly. The it I'm talking about varies from family to family and person to person. It could be making the perfect holiday meal, wearing the perfect outfit, dressing the children perfectly in those outfits that match and the hair all perfectly done, giving the perfect gift, decorating the house perfectly, creating perfect memories, topping whatever you did last year. I think that the pressure we place on ourselves is tremendous at the holiday season. I recently read the book White Oleander by Janet Fitch. While the overall premise of the book is not related to the holiday season, there's a paragraph in it that hits home for many people, so I'll quote it here. As we got into December, Claire cheered up. She loved the holidays. She was reading magazines with pictures of Christmas in England, in Paris, in Taos, New Mexico. She wanted to do everything. Let's have a perfect Christmas, she said. We wired a wreath in eucalyptus and pomegranates we dipped into melted wax. She bought boxes of Christmas cards, soft handmade paper with lace and golden stars. Swan Lake played on the classical station. We sewed garlands of tiny chili peppers, stuck cloves into tangerines, tied them with velvet the color of brandy. She bought me a red velvet dress with a white lace collar and cuffs at Jessica McClintock in Beverly Hills. Perfect, she said. It scared me when she said perfect. Perfect was always too much to ask.
What a great quote. Perfect was always too much to ask.
And another way of thinking about perfection is that perfect is really the enemy of good enough. And at times, especially at the holidays, we need to think about doing things just good enough.
Well, also, perfect is such a subjective concept. Perfect for one person may be atrocious for somebody else.
Exactly. And another thing to keep in mind is that in our memories, things are perfect. But that's because of the memory. Not necessarily the reality. We construct a meaning about holidays that translates into the desire to have the perfect event. We aren't remembering that things got burned or people fought. We hold on to the safety and security of when we were kids and things felt perfect.
What's interesting about all this is I think when we think of perfect, initially, at least it seems what's coming out here, is we think of things we can control, material things, you know, food or cards or clothes or the house. But what seems to me what you're really saying is the memories that are significant of a wonderful time together have nothing to do with any of that. They have to do with the interactions.
Exactly. And oftentimes, the best memories we have come from the mistakes, quote-unquote, that have happened, not the things that were planned.
Exactly. We have Thanksgiving at our house every year, and we've got a million zillion relatives who come, and it's always lots of fun, and there's a group that comes in screaming. Their voices are very loud, and everybody knows when they come in, and they're screaming happily, hello, hello, you know, that kind of stuff. And I remember one year we had it, and we had just had our fourth child 6 weeks before, and I did not murder my husband, who insisted we still have Thanksgiving. Don't worry, he said, we'll have it catered, it'll be fine. And we killed ourselves to make the house look okay, because just 6 weeks before that, we had moved into a new house. So I was certifiable at that point. I was a mess. And so the house wasn't perfect. It was not so great. And so, but we had moved the furniture and we had done whatever we'd done. Who knows what it was? It was so long ago. But I remember the first people to come in were beloved cousins who basically, the first one in, threw his coat on the sofa and looked around and said, nice house. Where's everyone?
That's right. The important part was the people that were there, not the way everything looked.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then I guess everybody needs to remember when they're the host or hostess, it right. doesn't matter how gorgeous your house is. All it takes is about three people and certainly one child.
And it's not going to look that way anymore. That's right. That's right.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on holiday stress.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, the popular Fodor's Guide by Sandra Burke and Linda Perlis is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Risa Davis-Gannell about some of the issues involved in holiday stress. What's the most common expectation that our children have?
Well, I think expectations are a key element, not only for our children, but for us as the parents and adults in their lives. We enter into the season with hopes and dreams, and as I said before, memories. And these elements become expectations. We expect everyone to be together. In some families, if you are absent from a holiday event at Aunt Gina's house, it's considered just horrible. And so those types of expectations that families have, family rules and things like that, we expect everyone to feel happy. Oftentimes, the holiday season can bring on very emotional stressors and can be a time of depression as well. Sometimes there have been relatives who have passed in previous years during that season, and those memories come up, or not having someone around who was an integral part of the family, friends who are no longer with us, that sort of thing. We expect that our children will behave. That somehow, miraculously, the holiday season will transform them
into the
perfect
Hallmark
little
card.
Angels, right, the Hallmark card. Or that our children will be grateful and gracious. We hope to raise them to be that way. We need to model that for them and help them learn those traits. But those traits aren't always present, and we need to help guide them and carefully understand that it's a process they're going through. And so at that moment when they open that gift and they don't behave graciously, it's a teaching moment. We expect that we'll have enough time and money to do everything that we plan and expect. And that's an important one to pay attention to as well. And our children often expect to get the latest and greatest toy. And also have expectations of their parents, that their parents will get along differently at the holidays. If there's been problems in the family and arguments and whatnot, that somehow the holiday season will change that as well. So sometimes a fantasy sort of comes to mind.
Is this more prevalent in an age when we have so much advertising coming at us, rather than a time when whatever we expected for the holidays was sort of what we knew or what was in our community, and now we have, you know, can only be celebrated appropriately from out of the Neiman Marcus catalog or whatever?
Well, the consumerism that is a part of our culture is a really big part of the challenges we face in the holiday season. I sort of describe it as swimming against the stream of commercialism and the consumer mentality of the holiday season. The consumer mentality is invading every aspect of family life, from children expecting parents to provide them with goods and services, as if parenting is a product they consume, or spouses conducting a cost-benefit analysis of their marriage. What am I getting from this relationship in terms of what I'm putting into it?
And
it's frightening.
It's really scary,
it is frightening, and it is something that particularly is evident at the holidays because of commercials and the all the consumerism that is bombarded by television and radio and just everything.
Is it possible in a situation where our kids are expecting and expecting and expecting to turn it inside out and say, okay, what are we going to do as a family to give back? I mean, can you do it even though you haven't done it? You know, and you've got 12-year-olds saying, you've got to be kidding, you know.
Right, right. It's a wonderful place to start. You know, particularly as you're saying, if you haven't done it before and you sort of realize, wow, I don't like the attitude that my children have about this season and all that's going on, and I want to affect some change. The holiday season is a wonderful time to start that process, to sit down with your children, no matter how young they are or how old they are, college students coming back home as well, or your 2-year-old. All of them have a different range of understanding, certainly, but all of them can participate in learning a different way to be at this time of year.
How would you describe our greatest holiday challenge?
Well, I think that is our greatest challenge at the holiday time, is the consumerism that we've really just talked a bit about.
Can you suggest how we could reduce holiday stress levels in our homes?
Sure. I think it's extremely important to keep expectations manageable, which may mean lowering your expectations, and to set realistic goals. To have an idea in mind of, yes, this is the ultimate of what I would want it to be like, or the ultimate goal, but how realistic is that? And at what point can I set it and still be comfortable with it and reduce my stress because of it, and the family stress? Remember that you can't please everyone.
I think that's a real key.
Oh, wow. And I think women very often are victims of that one.
Yeah, very much so. And oftentimes women have a lot of pressure that they place on themselves often be the ultimate creator of the holiday season as well. And so talking with your partner about sharing the load a bit, or sharing what your expectations are about what needs to be done, and discussing together, well, what really needs to be done, rather than just what I believe, you know. And to reassess your priorities, just, you know, literally write them down on paper, and then look over them, saying, all right, which ones do I really need to attend to? And which ones can I set aside and deal with after the fact if I still have enough energy? Schedule quiet time for yourself and your children. That's really important, because it can get so hectic taking care of all the things that are on our plates at that time. And be flexible and open to change As I mentioned before, oftentimes the things that create the fondest memories are the unexpected. So if you're flexible and open to change, it's, mm-hmm. you know, expect the unexpected and you'll find some treasures, really. Get enough sleep and let your kids get enough sleep, too. It's important to keep routines in place as much as possible.
I guess kids and grown-ups get to be pretty cranky.
Yes.
If there's that going on.
Exactly. And that's a key point as well, which is we have to remember that kids are really good at taking the emotional temperature of the family. And then they often act as the release valve for the family by acting out or getting depressed or whatever. It could take on any form. So keeping your stress level in check significantly helps to reduce your children's stress and anxiety levels.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on holiday stress.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Risa Davis-Gannell about some of the issues involved in holiday stress.
Are there stress-related warning signs that we should look for in our youngsters when all this commotion is going on?
Well, the first thing about that is, whenever possible, to be proactive rather than reactive. So by implementing some of the things that we've mentioned prior to this, you can assist in avoiding increasing the stress in your children's lives. So certainly we want to look for signs of stress, but our first thought should be, all right, here come the holidays. How can I plan ahead and be proactive? But certainly the signs and things to look for are things like, is your child moodier than normal, or preoccupied, or disruptive, or easily distracted or arguing with others more frequently? These could be signs of some of the stressors during the holidays coming out. Again, try and get some regular parts of the routine back in place in order to address some of those issues that are coming up. And for older children, talk with them about the stressors in their lives. Help them manage whatever is overwhelming them. You can be a great coach to your older kids. Not so much looking to solve the problem for them, because it's not necessarily what they're looking for, but as a guide, as a coach.
Identifying what is going on around them has to help them cope.
Exactly.
How can a child's participation in holiday preparations help to lower his or her stress?
Well, if children are on the periphery of a family event, they can feel lost and disconnected, mm-hmm. anxious. What is all this that's going on? By including them, it takes the mystery out of whatever is going on around them. It's also a way of modeling for them the importance that each member has in contributing to the spirit of the holiday season. That it's not just another task to take care of. As you said before, it's about the interactions. If you're going to be baking cookies, involve your children in it. If you're going to be setting the table, involve your children in it. It might be a little bit harder to get the teenagers involved in that sort of stuff.
Sometimes manual labor, like getting the turkey from the store and carrying it home or driving it home or
exactly.
that kind of thing.
Exactly.
But I guess the other thing with kids is it's so much more about process than product, so that if the table is not set correctly, okay, who cares?
Exactly.
And if the cookies aren't perfect.
Right.
Okay.
I have a story about cookies. One of my closest friends bakes hundreds of dozens of cookies every Christmas. For years, I was on the receiving end of these wonderful treats. Chocolate chip, thumbprints, sugar cookies, macaroons, you name it, she baked it. One year I drove to New York to visit her, the weekend she happened to turn her kitchen into Santa's bakery. And additionally, she was 8 months pregnant at the time.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
no. So she still, this is extremely important to her. This is a huge part of her holiday process. And so even though she was pregnant with, you know, swollen ankles and all of that stuff, she wanted to bake the cookies. So we began baking at 8 a.m. and didn't stop until every colleague, every relative, every friend, every acquaintance, and every service person had a container of home-baked cookies. And they weren't placed in just any container. Boxes and bows and ribbons and glitter, the whole nine yards. That was 2 years ago, and I don't think I've baked a cookie since.
So cured
that
you.
Cured, it cured me.
It's a huge project.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And I think many of us take on big, huge projects.
At one time, when my children were young, there was a cookie swap in my neighborhood. It was just a group of neighbors who got together, and everyone was making something around the holiday season. And if you wanted to participate, you had to bake, I don't remember how many dozen cookies to bring to this thing. And they were all out in containers, and you took your container and went around and helped yourself to some of each of the different kinds of cookies. But it was much more than that. It was the social congeniality of the whole thing. All of us were in the same boat. We were all preparing for holidays, but we shared a little relaxing time together.
Sure.
You know, there was coffee. There were, of course, cookies to eat at this. And I thought, what a great idea. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be doing things anyway, find a way to share some of your time with other people.
Sure.
Are there any parenting tips that you would especially want people to remember during the holiday season?
Well, as more of a family tip than a parenting tip, although certainly it can apply to parenting as well, an important part is to set differences aside. Holidays are not the time to address grievances with family members, including your children. In keeping with the holiday season, remind yourself to accept others for who they are and for who they are not.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that can be very helpful with getting everything done would be taking turns looking after each other's children with friends, neighbors, or colleagues to maximize time that you need to run errands rather than dragging the kids with you from store to store at the busiest time of the year. It's hard enough to run errands with your children, especially if you have younger children, when it's not the busiest time of the year. But certainly at the holiday season, it's even more difficult. And another is learning to say no. Don't take on more than you can handle. This will reduce your stress, your resentment, and feelings of being overwhelmed.
I think that applies
all year round. Yes.
And if we practice it all year round, we might be better at it holiday time.
That's right. And saying no also means saying no to the gimmies that can wear parents down over the holidays. There's a wonderful term for this that I think in some communities has sort of taken over, and that is affluenza. There are many families who have the means to provide in excess for their children, and so they do. But it's not necessarily helpful, and actually can be harmful
to the growth
of your children.
It's not necessarily celebratory.
No,
just
not
to provide things.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, if you read the accounts of holidays past that writers have done, it's never about the importance of a toy, except as the way the toy has some meaning with a relationship.
Yes.
It's never about material stuff.
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to close, but before we do, can you give our listeners any resources that would be good for them to connect with about children and the holidays?
Well, I think our key resources are right there in our community. It's nothing magical, nothing, you know, spectacularly out of the ordinary. Connect with the religious institutions that you are comfortable with, the community programs in your neighborhood. There are plenty of families who are very much in need, and one of the wonderful ways to reconnect with the spirit of the holiday is to give in ways that are not monetary but are of your time. And what a wonderful way to model values for your children.
Well, you have modeled some wonderful ideas for all of us. So, Risa Davis-Gannell, thank you so much for being with us and helping us to deal with holiday stress in some productive ways.
Thank you for having me.
Our gift for our first caller is a copy of The Little Book, a collection of stories, articles, parenting tips, and resources for all parents and caregivers, especially those who love and care for children and teens with special needs. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 306. Please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Tell us, if you can, what station you are listening to. Since we air all over the world, it's fun to know where you are tuning in. Again, that's 1-800-791-8573. With your name and mailing address. Our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, 3rd edition, is available in all major bookstores and on the web.
At the end of our program, we often thank individuals or foundations for their generous donations that help with the cost of producing Parents Perspective programs. Parents Perspective is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Today it is our turn to thank you, our listeners, for your tax-deductible contributions to our annual fundraising campaign. Please send your checks or money orders to Parents Perspective Incorporated, Post Office Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. Thank you for helping us continue to work for you. To learn more about Parents Perspective, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. At the site, you can even hear a show at any time. Just scroll down to the topic or guest of your choice and click onto the words Listen to Podcast below. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.